breaking records in the city where I live. Everybody, welcome to Breaking Records, episode number 5. I'm your host, Kelly K. Fresh Frazier, and the guest for this episode is DJ Debris, member of the Australian platinum-selling hip-hop trio, Hilltop Hoods, who are currently on the North American leg of the Great Expanse World Tour. The tour is in support of their 8th studio album of the same name, which marks a total of 6 number one albums overall in their homeland. An area record for the most number one albums by an Australian band. During our conversation, DJ Debris shares his thoughts on the longevity of the band and how they've been able to continually reinvent themselves. We also talked about the current world tour and how they're able to break out and have success when it's really tough for Australian bands to get noticed, even in their homeland. So, without further ado, let's get onto the interview with DJ Debris of the group Hilltop Hoods. Yeah, to get things started, you guys are in the middle of this tour in North America. How's the tour been?
It's been amazing so far. Yeah, it's been really good turnouts and great venues, good crowds, and yes, it's been good fun so far. And we did Europe just before this, so been on the road for a few months, but it's all going really well.
Cool. What's a show like for you guys? You know, when people come to your concerts, you know, what do you know they expect to see?
I guess they expect to see, if you can see us before they, I guess they expect to see a pretty live show, suffering pressure, run around athletes. It's quite an interactive show. We have Plutonic Labs on drums, so it's quite dynamic, and you know, we go through a lot of fast tracks, and there's a bit of an ebb and flow to our live set. So it's an hour and a half of kind of a good experience, I'd imagine, for most people.
Nice, a lot of energy. Yeah, I was listening to the newest album earlier today on the way back from work, and the Great Expanse, and it's just like it's such a fun record, man. It's like so much energy, and it's a really great album to listen to. You know, this is an album that, you know, it marks, you know, your 6th number one album out in Australia. Like, what, you know, going into this latest album, you know, what were you guys trying to really accomplish?
We often get asked that. It's we don't really set out with a goal, you know, to have a hit record or any particular type of record. If anything, if we aim for anything, it's a continuation of the last, I guess you could say.
Okay.
An evolution would be a better word, of the last record. I guess it more reflects, this album reflects us more where we're at now, you know, a bit more mature, I'd like to think. and a bit more travelled and worldly, and evolution of our last few records is kind of a simple way to put it.
I mean, this is the eighth studio album, and like I said, you guys had 6 number one albums. It's like, how do you sort of keep the passion alive? How do you keep the creativity alive? How do you just, you know, keep going and keep on coming out with these records that, you know, obviously are, you know, passion, you know, hitting some sort of passion with your fans?
Yeah, I guess we're all quite, you know, when we're on the road, we don't write much music, but when we get back into studio mode, we're all quite creative, and working with a bunch of different producers and helps a lot, I guess. And I mean, being in a group helps a lot as well. I mean, if I was a solo artist, or if suffering pressure of a solo artist, and yeah, you know, there's no one to kind of give you a shove when you need to be shoved and whatnot. So I think being in a group helps a lot, first and foremost. And yeah, just when we're very focused on what we're doing at the time, if it's touring, we're very focused on that. And if it's a recording season we're in, we're very focused on that, and try to, you know, once an album starts to form, it inspires you to get more and more creative, and it's kind of a avalanche effect, I guess. I had to put it in a nutshell.
You know, what's the chemistry like, you know, within the band? You know, why do you guys, you know, how are you guys able to, you know, continue to make these great records? You know, what is it about just your personalities that just molds well with each other?
Yeah, we've been asked that a few times. It's, I don't really know. I mean, first and foremost, we're great friends, and we've been through a lot together. And I guess that matters more than anything. And, you know, having a little bit of compromise if you're passionate about something and the other guys aren't, you know, having a compromise here and there. But I get, mainly it's just being friends and respecting each other's opinions. And we all kind of grew up in the same area and have similar tastes. And, yeah, it's lucky. A lot of bands don't last as long as we have. And, we're still great friends, and yeah, we've never had a fallout or anything. So, yeah, to answer your question, being great friends is the core of it. But I guess there's, for lack of a better term, an X factor to it all as well, that's where the chemistry just works. It's not forged, really. So, yeah, that... those two things would be it in a nutshell.
Yeah, when I, you know, when I listen to you guys, your music, and I just see, when I just see any visual in regards to your live shows or anything, it just looks like you guys, you know, go all out. And I've interviewed a bunch of metal bands from, you know, Australia, and a common thing that they say is that since there's like little opportunities for bands to really blow up from Australia, they really have to go that extra mile, go that extra whatever to really stand out, not only in Australia, but outside of Australia. You know, what's your thoughts about, you know, what you guys really went into with this band and how you were able to stand out?
I guess when we started out, hip-hop was very... there's a very small section of the music community in Australia, and it was very hard to get top billed, or, you know, it was a very rock orientated scene. And we never really thought it would turn into a career. So we had no expectations in regard to that. And yeah, I guess we've been doing it for so long that it just evolved into that. And when we got to quit our day jobs, it was an amazing thing. And yeah, we're very grateful of it and never take it for granted. And but yeah, you're right, it is hard for bands to be able to live off of music in Australia, and even harder to do that overseas. And yeah, there's not a huge list of Australian bands that have made it large overseas, and I'm not saying that we are, but our shows in Australia are a lot bigger than they are when we tour overseas, but we're still very, very grateful to the opportunities we're given around the world to tour.
You know, that moment that you guys were able to just quit your jobs and live off of making music, being in this band, you know, what's What was it about the band? What was it that about what you guys were doing do you feel resonated enough to you that you were able to be so successful and get to that point?
I guess if we knew the answer to that, we would have got to that point earlier. I think just being ourselves is the main thing. It's something luckily that people can relate to. But yeah, we've Suffer put it well in a recent interview. Said, we're kind of like a Beastie Boys. We're just ourselves, and each album's a bit of an evolution of the last one. But we don't ever try to emulate anything else. So it's kind of a it's a hard question to answer because I think if anybody knew how that formula worked, they would cut to the chase most
I
of the
bet they
time.
would. When the band was first starting, you guys were coming up, what kind of shows were you doing? Were you doing shows with other rock bands or other hip hop acts or metal bands? What were the shows like?
When we first started doing shows, it was 100 to 200, 300 people, and it was mainly with other hip hop groups. And then we started getting offered some festival spots on the stage that's away from all the main stages, and with the indie acts and alternative kind of bands play, and kind of earned our stripes there and worked our way up into a higher billing. But it's definitely mainly hip hop shows that we played at when we started out.
Do you guys seem to think you guys have a an audience that goes outside of hip hop?
I'd say we do now. Yeah, when we started, it was a very core hip hop crowd. But now it's the most diverse following ever. It's, sometimes when we're signing stuff for people and that, there'll be like an 8-year-old kid just getting us to sign his hat, and behind him in line is a 70-year-old truck driver. And yeah, it's quite it's quite a wide audience. And I think something I'm grateful for as well is our demographic seems to keep renewing. A lot of bands, particularly in Australia, the demographic will kind of grow with them. So, when they get to 50 years old or whatever, their crowd is 50 years old or whatever. And ours, every album we do, there seems to be, a new bunch of teenagers or early 20s people that have coming along to the show. So we keep kind of renewing our demographic, which is unusual from what I've witnessed anyway.
What do you think, caused that audience to sort of renew? Do you think it's just like the evolution of the band and not doing what you did last album? How do you sort of reach out and connect to your crowd?
I guess mainly it's the songs. If you have a song that people relate to and it's getting airplay or is accessible, or somebody hears it and shazams it or soundhounds it or whatever, and I guess that's how people discover new music. And that and word of mouth. We have a lot of people who kind of, I don't know what the word is, kind of missionaries for us. They'll backpack around the world and go, hey, you should listen to this. A lot of people, for instance, like I'll say, how did you hear about us? When I meet people at shows in the US, and they're like, oh, I discovered a BMX video that you guys are on YouTube, which was a guy doing freestyle BMX stuff. It must have been like 10, 15 years ago now. And he had nosebleed section as the song in it. And from there, a lot of people have checked out our catalog from that and then start coming to shows. So yeah, it's just bizarre the origin of how people discover you, I guess.
Right. What are the songs that you guys play, especially on this tour, that are the ones that people get most excited about?
I mean, the old classics like Nosebleed Section, as I said, is a one we're most known for globally, I guess. Chase That Feeling. But then even some of the newer tracks have been getting really good response, like Sell It All, Runaway, and Exit Sign.
Yeah, Exit Sign's a jam.
Cosby
I love
Sweater,
that song.
You know, Cosby Sweater seems to be the one that makes every show seems to get them into a frenzy. So that's definitely the one that works best live.
You know, on this tour that you're currently on, you know, what's been your thoughts about, you know, touring the U.S.? You know, see anything that you never seen before? Been to any places that you haven't been before, or are you going to places that you haven't been before?
Yeah, we're in Portland at the moment, and I haven't been here before, so there's a start. Yeah, the other guys have seen more of the U.S. than I have. I had trouble with my visa first time I tried to get in, so I'm seeing a few new places. But yeah, it's great. This is a quite extensive tour, and it's even the cities I have been to before. I've seen different parts of it when we're rocking up, because we're playing different venues and meeting different people. So it's a different experience every time, even when we do come back to a place.
You know, when you look back to like the early years of, you know, of this band, you know, when it was just starting to ascend to something, you know, what's the sort of like the fond memories that you have of those times?
Sorry, what was the question again?
When you look back to the early years of this band, what are some like the good memories of you that you have of that time period?
I guess for me personally it would be the first kind of shows we did, where you know, we sold over 1,000 tickets and whatnot, where I was like, yeah, it's a bit of a shock that you've got this many supportive. But yeah, oh, there's so many. It's one of those things. I have a pretty bad memory, but sometimes I sit back and I want to, you know, if I start thinking back about stuff, a lot of other memories rush back to me and I get a bit nostalgic. And yeah, there's so many, it's hard to narrow it down to a few. But it's, yeah, probably. To answer your question, yeah, the first larger shows we started doing where we were headlining would be, you know, the fondest memories for me personally.
Right. What's your favorite part about being in this band? You know, what's sort of, what have you gotten out of being a part of the Hilltop Hoods?
What have I gotten out of it? An alternative to being an accountant. Not that there's anything wrong with being an accountant, but just an amazing opportunity to do what we love for a living, and being able to travel and, you know, and I guess leave some form of a legacy, whether it's big or small. I think it's good to think when it's, 50 years down the track, someone might find a CD somewhere and, yeah, if you're not making music anymore, that's someone might be passionate about something they've discovered in 50 years, even though it's a 50-year-old album or whatever, and just being right. able to leave that legacy in history, whether it's minute or large or whatever in the eye of the beholder. It's that's probably a big thing for me that I appreciate.
Right. When, you know, after all of this success, you know, how does your home, how does, you know, Adelaide sort of feel about the Hilltop Hoods at this point? You know, do you get much love back home?
Yeah, Adelaide's a special place for us. It's a great place to call home. It's a, you know, it's a city of just over a mil. It's, you know, great climate and whatnot. And yeah, the crowds we get there are usually the loudest of all the shows we do.
Okay.
And
that's a good feeling.
Yeah, we played a large gig last gig we played was I think it was six or 7,000 somewhere there. Don't quote me on it, but yeah, it was very loud and very, very into it. And it's it's always great performing with the hometown love.
Right, and I saw that you you were the main support during one of Eminem's tours out there in Australia and New Zealand.
Yeah, I'm
here in Detroit, so that's our big dude here. How was that tour?
Yeah, nice. That was crazy. That was the the largest gigs we've ever played. We played at the MCG, which is the Melbourne Cricket Ground. I think it was the largest show in Australia, possibly the Southern Hemisphere, but it was 86,000 from memory. Obviously not there to see us, but but nonetheless, being able to play to a cricket ground or a football ground that large is something else. It's it's quite terrifying, to be honest.
But besides being terrifying, how did it feel to play in front of that many people? Were they receptive in any way to you guys?
Yeah, definitely. So they really got into it. It was we'd done an Eminem tour before that, but we were the first act, and then I think it was Lil Wayne was after us, and then Eminem, and we weren't as known back then the first time.
Yeah,
and we definitely that first time got more of a vibe that people weren't there to see us, even they got into it. But yeah, this last tour we did with Eminem was an amazing response. Even the one we did in New Zealand, it was we were very well received.
Right, that's good. What's you guys are doing this this tour of the U.S. So after this is done, what's next for you guys?
After this, we go home. We end this tour in Hawaii, which is going to be fun. our families are meeting us there, and we're going to have a bit of a holiday there.
Awesome.
To mark the end of the tour. Then we'll go back for Christmas, and then we have a show on New Year's, then hopefully have most of January off, and then start with a few Australian shows. Looking forward to ending the tour in Hawaii, and I've never been there before.
All right, that should be a good way of ending a tour. You guys can just chill out there afterwards and, like you said, have a bit of a holiday.
Yeah, indeed.
All right, man. It's been great talking with you. Good luck on the tour. Before we get out of here, where can people go online to get more information about the Hilltop Hoods?
Hilltophoods.com has all the concert dates. YouTube.com/Hilltophoods or Facebook.com/Hilltophoods. Any of those, you can find out a bit more. But yeah, website's probably the central place for all the links and info.
All right. It's been good talking with you, man. Like I said, good luck on the tour.
You too, man. Thank you very much for having us on your podcast.
All right, that was my interview with DJ Debris, member of the Australian hip-hop trio Hilltop Hoods. More information about the remaining tour dates on the Great Expanse World Tour and links to purchase the Great Expanse or stream it or check out anything else that the Hilltop Hoods have going on, all those links will be in the show notes for this episode at freshthepodcast.com. And just want to remind you that I have two other podcasts that I'm still doing. Fresh is the Word. That's the pop culture lifestyle podcast. Got a lot of good, strong information, great episodes on the way. Then I got the Renaissance Soul Detroit Music History Podcast. And I'm about to drop that Sponge Rod and Pinata 25th anniversary episode with the lead vocalist, Vinnie Dombrowski. So go stream, rate, review, share. All three of my podcasts, Breaking Records, Renaissance Soul, and Fresh is the Word. More information on all those are at freshisthepodcast.com. And also, if you want to help out the podcast, You can also go to freshesthepodcast.com and click on the link that says support the podcast and see how you can help me out. I'm on Patreon at patreon.com/freshestheword. You can PayPal me. There's other ways you can support without, you know, money. So, you know, share, comment, social media stuff. Man, let's get them algorithms dancing, man, so I get noticed. All right, man. So thank you for listening once again. Goodbye and good night. Breaking records in the city where I live.